Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, March 8th, and I'm here so far with Lisa. We'll see if anybody else joins us. But we've got a great conversation today that we're going to talk about focusing on the process, not on the achievement. So, Lisa, let's just start with a quick check-in. How have things been going for you?
Things have been going pretty good overall at home and school academically, but socially at school we're having some kind of new issues. And you know, right now my son is just struggling with that. The kids that he usually hangs out with don't want to hang out with him anymore. And so he's been having a lot of lunchtime and recess by himself and finding new kids to hang out with. And I've been crying about it. So and he doesn't really want to talk about it very much. Every day, you know, I ask him, you know, who did you, you know, have lunch with? Who did you hang out with during recess? And he's just like, you're asking me too many questions. He doesn't want to talk about it. But sometimes he talks about it, and then he cries about it, and then it's hard for me not to cry about it. And I got this book about called It's Hard to Be Your Friend, something like that. So I've been reading that, and I'm just, like, reading it and crying. So it's been – I think it's probably emotionally harder for me than for him because I just feel like, you know, so sad that, you know, he's struggling socially right now. So that's what has been going on for us right now.
Okay. Well, and I see that Margo and Martha both joined us. Hi, guys.
Hello.
So, Lisa.
Whoever was just talking, how old is your son?
11.
Oh.
So, Lisa, meet Margo and Martha, two of our Tuesday regulars. Lisa's normally with me on Tuesday or Thursday nights most often, I think. But she's joining us today because her schedule was such.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, let's, when we kind of go back and take aim, if that's something you want to take aim on this week, we can kind of dig in a little bit. But I can tell that it's hard for you, and it's mm-hmm. great that you're observing that it's more of a problem for you than for him. And so I think that's a place to kind of play and go, okay, how do I, you know, what do you do with that? You know, because a lot of times it happens that our kids' issues are more pressing in our minds than they are for them, and it can be a difficult place to be in. So something to just play with a little bit. Mm-hmm. Margo, you want to do a quick check-in?
I was trying to think what to talk about, and I really don't know because it's like too much has happened and then nothing has happened. The family is on the recoup, the stomach flu, so that's kind of, we've been in a cocoon for a couple of days, just, you know, completely separated from the world, and it's been wonderful, other than the, you know, cleaning up. So I'm not really sure, I guess, what hangs over me, and maybe this would be a take-aim thing, is the whole getting back to school, and that, you know, that's one of Matthew's big issues, and so just that I'm kind of getting anxious about figuring out what he's going to have to make up and what he thinks he understands and says that he's okay on, that he's not really okay on, and that kind of stuff.
Well, so what I'm going to challenge you to do, and I'm going to come back to you in just a minute, is to get really specific about what you're taking aim on, because there's parts to that. There's the, you know, helping him to be honest about what's going on. There's you know, the helping him to feel confident about, you know, jumping back in. You know, there's lots of different ways to approach it. So between now and the time
right.
that I come back to you, Margo, think a little bit more about kind of what you want to do. But this is just from a break of being off sick, right? Is that what you mean?
Right.
Okay, cool. All right. So, Martha, what about you?
Unmute. Well, my son Robert is now 16. He had his birthday last month, and he had issues all through elementary school with anxieties and stress and I'm convinced that the worst part of life is middle school. And then, anyway, now that he started ninth grade a year ago fall, and he couldn't adapt, and so we took him out and we started virtual school. Okay, so last year he didn't pass. This year he wouldn't do the work. This year he's not doing the work. Okay, so so currently we had my husband had said that, you know, he was going to have to go to military school, and then that's just fallen through because, no, he's not going to military school. So last night, and it's kind of been going on where we thought we had progress last month where he was, like, recognizing he looked in the mirror and he didn't like what he saw and he was going to try to fix it. Well, last night, him and his dad were talking. But then when he came up front and I was like, what's up, he didn't know how to tell me because it wasn't nice. And I said, well, then if it's the truth, then you just have to tell me. So he was like, I can't work at home with you. So he was saying that I stress him and that he can't work with me. Well, I talked to my husband and we kind of recognized that he's coming up with anything he can say to try to get around the subject, which is he's not going to school. So he has to find some way. So that was what was coming up last night, was that I'm an obstacle, but it's really all of his obstacles. So I'm kind of like trying to figure out how to take aim, how to take this information that's always existed and move forward from it. And trying to talk to him that we're both kind of, you know, my son and I are similar. We're in similar places where there's things we need to do and we feel this, you know, we want to do them, but we feel stuck. So I said, you know, I'd like to work with you where we can try to help one another move forward with our own situations in our own way. But I can feel that he's, you know, a teenager. He doesn't want to work with anybody, and especially not his mom. And so I'm thinking we probably need to, you know, pursue the counseling a little heavier, you know, to really get out there and try to find a good
help. Let me interrupt you for a second, Martha, because you're jumping to solution. And so before we do that,
Yeah.
Well, so how did it feel when he said, I have such a hard time working with you?
Well, it was not something I wasn't already aware of, because the entire time we've always bumped heads. And I've always had to be the one that's around him because my husband's working long hours and not here, so it's me. And so, yeah, I'm the disciplinarian, and I'm the one that has to be strict and not always fun. So, yeah, anybody's not going to like that boss in their life. So it didn't come as a surprise to me, but I still, you know, through this course, I'm still trying, you know, to focus and get curious and just keep going over the steps that we've been learning. And now here's this, we're in the same, you know, he's restated what I've already known, that we're not working together and he's not doing schoolwork. So it's time to stop and take aim again and try to figure out where to start.
Well, and so I guess that this, so it sounds like a pretty clear problem to solve, which is he feels like you can't work together. You see that you're bumping heads. What if you, is this a place you want to take aim?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So how would you bottom line the challenge you want to address?
Finding a way that he, because I see the virtual school as the most helpful for him, where it's going to get him knowledge without stressing him out. Yeah.
Martha, I'm going to, so take a second. Do you need a second to try to bottom line? Because we're going to try to use that bottom line skill here, okay?
Okay. Yeah, you can come back to me.
Okay. So, Lisa, where do you want to take aim? Lisa, did I lose you? wonder if she put me on mute. Margaret, what about you? Oh, okay, Lisa, good. Okay, where do you want to take aim?
Okay, so trying to bottom line it. Let's see, it's very hard to do that, but I want to help Isaiah, my son, socially at school, but that's so huge. So I guess I need a little bit of help of how I can, you know, narrow
okay,
that down.
Okay, so you said when you talked about it earlier, you said that he doesn't want to talk about it.
Right.
What's the real challenge from his perspective?
He gets really sad about that, you know, he is oftentimes alone at recess, and that the boys that he was hanging out with now tell him, you know, please don't sit with us. And so I think it's just affecting his self-esteem.
Okay. So how willing are you to stay with just taking aim on him and his sadness as opposed to trying to fix, jumping to a solution around the social issue?
I could try that. It's so hard for me because I am so focused on outcome instead of like a process. I mean, would that just be the process and just to just kind of listen to him, which I do.
Right, because here's my challenge to you, Lisa, and I think that this it's a great one because you can hear in it just kind of the process versus the outcome piece of it is that what you see as a sad child, and you don't want your child to be sad, the leap you're taking, which is not necessarily incorrect, is, oh, if we fix his social skills problem, it would fix the sad problem. And if you stay with the sad problem, you might find more ways to resolve the sad problem that may or may not have anything to do with the social issue. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to, how willing are you to play with this a little bit?
I'll play with it.
Okay, cool. So Margot, specifically around, it sounds like you were talking about getting back to school. Is that the area you want to take aim on?
Yeah. Excuse me. Chewing. Yes, and I think the adjustment for him is what I want to focus on.
So what do you see as the primary challenge?
Missing the classes and some of the academics, and rather than, I feel like in some way listening to the others that maybe I've been results oriented to instead of, and I need to back up and go through the process.
There's a lot to this because you mentioned the fact that, you know, he's not always forthcoming about what assignments are missing. He could be overwhelmed by what's going on at school. You know, it's where do you kind of point your lens as
right. You're
focusing on this transition?
So, and they just had an end of course, so that kind of helps that we're at the beginning. And so between supporting him going back and identifying maybe some things that we can do together so that I know he's following through in terms of getting his makeup work and getting it completed and having a sense of managing it competently instead of feeling overwhelmed.
Okay. So if he was going to not feel overwhelmed, but he didn't have it all in hand, would that be preferable to you over if he didn't have it all in hand, or as opposed to the opposite? So the question is, do you want to focus on his overwhelm, or do you want to focus on helping him make sure he has it all in hand?
I want to help him with his overwhelm.
Okay, cool. So overwhelm with getting back to school.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Martha, I'm coming back to you. How are you doing on your bottom lining? I'm happy to help you if you need it.
Okay. Well, it just sounds like, the most important thing and the focus should be on getting him to complete school.
Well, so it feels really big to me. When we were talking before, you were talking about the fact that the problem is that he's having a hard time working with you. So is the challenge that you want to focus on finding an alternative to working with you, or which feels a little bit like a solution, or is the challenge you want to focus on the fact that he's having a difficult time partnering with you?
I think it's not necessary to work with me for the schoolwork, so it's more of finding alternatives for him to be able to complete the work.
Okay, so it's kind of you want to take aim on how to help him find some different resources that will support him in getting the work done. Is that right?
Right. So, okay. And that's kind of where it's been all along, because he just rejects, help. Teachers and advisors and, all of this, he gets kind of stressed and he's not communicating. And part of last night was saying that he doesn't feel like he knows how to relate to people anymore. He doesn't know how to talk to people. So
that's another challenge you could approach here. You could say, let's focus in on how to help him to learn to advocate for himself.
Right. So that's kind of where, to be able to work with it, then he has to learn how to advocate, be an advocate. So
see how we're digging in a little bit more? So is it about, so that underneath advocating is, what is it about advocating that makes it difficult for him? Well, maybe he's socially, maybe he's having some social issues. Lisa was talking about social issues a few minutes ago. So then maybe you take aim on him and his social issues. Maybe, so it's kind of, can you see how, there's this web here, and you want to get down to one thing and say, where does it feel core enough to say, okay, I can focus in on helping him to figure out how to advocate for himself to find some resources to help him with school? Or you could focus in on managing his overwhelm. Or you could focus in on how do we not butt heads as much? So where do you want to take this conversation?
Well, for him being able to be an advocate, so getting curious as to what's his problem relating. Is it socially? Is he feeling, self-esteem? Is he feel like he's lacking a skill, which to me kind of all interrelate. So just trying to get to the bottom on why he feels he can't talk to these people.
Great. So you've jumped into that next step, which is awesome. So, once you've kind of taken aim, you go into that place of curiosity and say, okay, what do I think is going on? So that's a great way to exercise that, Martha. And so I think you're heading a great direction. How does it feel?
Good.
Okay, cool. All right, so checking back. Nobody else has joined us. So let's jump into the lesson. We are on... I don't know what page we're on, 36 of the workbook. And we're talking about focusing on the process, not the achievement. And it could be results or outcome. I mean, there's lots of different ways to phrase this. But this is about expectations, and it's about systems and structures. And it's an important one because so many of us as parents, and whether you're ADHD or not, we get so very focused on the finish line. Right. And part of that is because that's what the world measures. It's like, okay, what are your grades in your class? And, did they finish this? And really kind of nothing's done until it's done. And we kind of get this mindset, and it's not unlike the rest of the world where, we're very outcome focused. And the challenge with that for our kids is a couple fold. Number one is that for a lot of our kids, the distance between now and the end point can be really far. So if you think about school, for example, I have this conversation a lot with clients who say, okay, my goal for my child is to have A's and B's in all their classes. Well, it's not a bad goal because it's very measurable, and those of us who have learned SMART goals, it's specific, it's measurable, blah, blah, blah. But it's for our kids, there's a long way and about a million steps between finishing my homework right now, or even starting on my homework right now, And all of the things that add up together to end up with a B in one class, let alone a B in seven classes. And so it's really can be overwhelming, and it can be demotivating because our kids have a hard time seeing the end point as being connected. So either they have magical thinking and they think, oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter that I got an F on this test. I'll just pick up my grade. And they don't have a clear sense of kind of what it takes to get their grade up. Or the opposite will happen and they'll get self-defeated and they'll say, oh my gosh, I failed this test. Why should I bother? And they kind of throw in the towel. And so when we keep focusing on the end point, whether it's at school or whether it's at home, it really does take our kids in a different place than where they go naturally. And we talk a lot about the fact that our kids have two time frames. They have now and they have not now. And so if we're focused on something that's not happening now as an outcome, you know, whether it's even, you know, getting through, you know, 10 problems of homework, or even if it's, you know, setting the table, which would be, you know, a big step. If we focus on the outcome and is every plate in it where it's supposed to be, and is the fork on the left and the napkins underneath and all those other things, it's like if we look at what it looks like at the end, it can be difficult for our kids because there's so many pieces there and it can be very overwhelming. So a lot of times our kids need help to divide things into smaller pieces, which helps them to make it more motivating. So some examples of things that we can do are, you know, rather than holding your kid accountable for finishing homework, you focus on staying attentive to homework for 10 minutes, you know, or so it's kind of like, let's do the next problem and let's do the next problem. If you have a child who's struggling with emotional intensity, you might have a situation where you'd say, okay, instead of being good, quote unquote, all day, if they're able to hold their cool for 15 minutes during a conversation where you're having a particular, we've got older kids here, so it's like our kids losing their cool is usually an emotional outburst when we're needing to tell them something that they don't want to hear, right? So you could hold them accountable for, you know, thank you so much for staying in this conversation for me, even if we don't ultimately resolve the situation immediately, you were here, you were listening to me, we were talking about it, and I appreciate and honor the fact that you were able to kind of stick here in this conversation with me. And it's particularly important. So number one, it helps manage overwhelm. It helps with executive function challenges because it breaks it down in smaller pieces. And the other thing that we talk about here is that success breeds success. And so, you know, if our child feels like they're being successful finishing a few homework assignments or, you know, reading a few chapters in a book or, you know, cleaning up part of their room, and I think that this is another place it's, that you know, outcomes can be overwhelming, and so it's important to kind of take it in smaller pieces. So as I share that, what comes up for the three of you guys?
I guess for me, this is Margo, instead of, you know, for the situation we were talking about, instead of saying, okay, you know, this is what has to be done, being the example of breaking it down into smaller pieces and helping him brainstorm, I'm going to email this teacher, and that's good enough for today. And tomorrow I'll email the next teacher, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So how will that help him in a different way?
Well, if he's looking at the individual parts to it rather than the whole, that seems like too much, and is taking action on just one little piece, it would seem more manageable, and he would be making some progress.
Okay, cool. Now, I know, Lisa, when we were talking about this earlier, you said that this is something that is a challenge for you. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because even this, like, I'm just thinking about, you know, the the outcome. Well, two different things. One is, like, my son, he's, like, you know, he's in band, and so, you know, he loves going to band, but he hates practicing the trumpet. So, but even he's gotten pretty good at, like, well, I'll just do 5 minutes. And so then he gets 5 minutes done, and then sometimes he'll do 5 minutes more or whatever, but, you know, then he can feel successful that, at least, you know, he practiced for 5 minutes, and then he'll do something else, and then maybe he'll go back and practice for 5 more minutes. So when he's supposed to practice for 15 minutes total, that is helpful, you know, and then, you know, I think he feels good about it, and I know I do, if he practices twice for 5 minutes. So breaking it down into chunks, and then when I think about his problem with the friends at school, you know, I talked to him a lot about it, you know, and I just suggested to him, you know, to, you know, maybe go and talk to other kids that he doesn't know. And he has done that, and, you know, he's gone, you know, I don't know how much he likes it, but at least he's gone and, you know, had lunch with them and spent recess with them, and, you know, and I think, you know, that is successful too, just trying something new, you know, just trying to, I don't know if that's really focusing on the process or focusing on the outcome. Well, I guess the outcome would be that he would be successful socially, but the process is just, you know, trying little things to see, you know, let me try these people or let me try these people.
So where in the challenges that you face at home, at school, do you find it really difficult to focus beyond just the outcomes?
Well, like we talked, I don't know if it was with you or someone else, but we talked like a week or two ago about, you know, the morning routine, you know, and about getting curious about why, you know, no matter what we do, we're always at the last minute running out the door and we're going to be late, you know, and I was encouraged to be curious about it, and I'm just like thinking to myself, like, I don't need to be curious about it. He has ADHD. That's why we're always late, because he's always, you know, he just needs more. I just figured, you know, he just needs more time, you know, in order to get out. It's just, I kind of feel like, well, I already know what the problem is. So let's just see what we can do to focus on getting to the solution. I'm just so solution oriented.
That's a great example, because you're saying, okay, let's just, so we've got ADHD, let's fix it. And it feels like there's a step in between there, which is, what is it about his executive function challenges that makes it difficult in the morning? You know, is it distractibility? Is it activation? Is it, you know, so one of the exercises we're doing in Sanity School right now is to really look and see what is your child's executive function challenges. And yes, he has ADHD, and that's what makes it difficult. And I can tell you that Lisa, you could add 3 hours to your morning routine, and if you're like most families we work with, that's not what this is about. It's not just about more time. Does that resonate for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a great example where it's, and I think that it's part of it is just kind of, we want to jump to problem solving, and I think that that's part of it. And jumping to problem solving is very parallel to jumping to outcomes, where it's kind of like, well, logically, if we want this to happen, we just do this, and that's, you know, and it's that simple, and we kind of, you know, swipe our hands and say, okay, let's just do this. And and if we do that outside of the context of what's a realistic expectation for our child, understanding what's going on from an executive function perspective, finding a way to be more positive, it really does kind of end up often in a hot mess. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah. So, but I've found that, you know, using the, you know, compassion has been helping me a lot. And then I just kind of shepherd him along in the mornings.
If you were going to focus on the process in the morning rather than the outcome, what are three things that you would celebrate in the midst of that morning transition?
I'm not getting so mad.
Awesome.
So that's huge. He's like so loving in the morning, you know, he just wants to hug and, you know, he's excited about life and talk and, you know, things like that. So that's nice.
And I feel like, you know, he knows what to do. So he's doing it. He's just doing it in his own time frame. So
yeah. Well, and so part of it, as you work on this, and you're going to continue, I'm guessing that you're going to continue to take AIM on mornings. I my son's 16, and I'm still taking AIM on mornings. we're just trying to get out of bed most days. It's like once he's up, he's fine. But, you know, it's that piece of it. It's kind of like continue to say, okay, you know, what was different today than yesterday, and how can I focus on that rather than, oh my gosh, we're still late, you know, because there's going to be several adjustments and tweaks along the road. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then as far as like the outcome goes, you know, I just got his report card and he was only actually late once this whole trimester, so that's really good. So I mean, that's probably not that's not what we're talking about, the outcome, but it seems to be.
Well, so but here's the thing. So Lisa, if your son at age 19 was still in a situation where you were shepherding him out the door, but he was never late to school, would you feel like you'd accomplished your goal?
No. I'm hoping I don't have to do that when he's 19.
Right. So part of what we're doing, and this is where the challenge becomes, is that we're not just trying to get them to school on time and avoid a detention. We're trying to teach them how to be able to eventually learn the skills it takes to independently transition from sleep to work or sleep to college or sleep to whatever. Does that? So that's where part of the reason it's like if we say, okay, shoo, no tardies, or shoo, they gotta be, yay, we're done. If we just focus on those outcomes, we often miss the real meat of it, which is, okay, what I really am trying to do is to teach my child how to get themselves up and out in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay. So other thoughts, Margot or Martha?
I'm just jotting down notes on what are you trying to teach them, and then what are they supposed to be learning? You know, what's that? So I did like what, I think it was Lisa, but being the example, you know, you can be an example yourself on breaking it down into smaller pieces on the, like I was saying, I had my own problems with the organization and the executive functions because I have my own ADHD. So just trying to break it down for myself. But that's where just if he's not getting it from me, then that's okay. Because I also know that I have.
So what area specifically are you thinking about, Martha, as you're talking about this?
Well, I have, a need to do some organizing and clearing out my house. And so I just know I need to break it down into little bitty pieces, you know, and get that elephant out, you know, eaten up. But I still have my own wall that it's not getting done. So I can apply all of these rules right at myself as well, you know. And so that's where, like I said, if he doesn't want to work with me, if I can't work with him, where it's like, let's do this together and try to come up with our own mutual, you know, plans, then that's okay. So back to just working with him and finding out what he needs to succeed and not necessarily intermixing me with it at all. But if I do show an example, maybe it's something just like listening to y'all, it might be something he picks up on, but that's not part of what I would be focusing on. And just getting through the process and focusing on his accomplishments.
Well, and so here's the thing is, like, ultimately what you want is you want your son to get into a successful routine with school again, right? And that's an outcome. And that's when you went back and bottom-lined it. That was the big circle of, okay, I want him to be successful at school. The one of the steps to getting there is helping him to figure out how to advocate for himself.
Right.
And have the difficult conversations. There may be even a smaller step before that, which is, okay, how can I, you know, how do you identify what conversations you're supposed to have? Who do you want to talk to? Where, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah, right. But I was also encouraged that you're like, right now you're still focusing on getting your son up in the morning, but once he gets up, he gets going. So it's like you've won some of the battles or he's successful already, but he's still that very first step hasn't gotten accomplished. So getting him over that hurdle can get him a lot further down the road.
Well, and that's why you take aim. I mean, the reality is that he's not, I mean, the rest of his day isn't smooth sailing, but once he learns how to get himself up and out of bed, there'll be plenty of other things for him to focus in on. But that we happen to be lucky that he's now, and it's been with a lot of work because he had distractibility and he had, you know, so we spent a lot of time and now he's, you know, he's figured out how to get downstairs in 10 minutes and out the door so he's not tardy. But, you know, so I think that that's the piece of it is, you know, if you can try to divide it up into small pieces, Martha, and just know that part of this is going to be figuring out how to not butt heads with you. And so I'm going to challenge you to kind of, at some point, you might want to put that back on the plate as something to tackle instead of just saying, okay, we're never going to work together. Because part of what the skill is, what skill would that teach him if he figured out how to work with you, even though you tend to butt heads?
Oh, a huge one on how to work with difficult people, because you know you're always going to be confronted with them all through your life. There's going to be people that you must work with, and they're difficult to work with, so you have to find a way around it.
Right, right. And you can always quit a job and start a new job, but you can't spend your life, you know, it gets harder the older you get.
Yeah, there'll be a difficult person there, too. So,
yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay.
But then you lost all your benefits, so.
All right. Well, so any other thoughts around this topic? And we'll just kind of transition. We've got a little bit of time here to do some laser coaching. Margo, is there anything in particular that you noticed where it's hard for you to focus on the process?
Well, I think I'm doing better with thinking about process and not just the end result.
Right. What, like, one area where you tell me about it.
So. I guess, you know, and just practicing myself, you know, looking at my own stuff and what I need to do and breaking it down, just, I guess, probably what I need is more.
Did we lose you?
More practice.
Margo, are you still there?
Then it becomes more natural to show it to him.
It looks like she's still there, but I can't hear her. Margo.
She's there. I could hear.
Whereas I'm thinking about, you know, getting back into my schedule, thinking about.
Do you hear her then?
Now I can hear. Margo, you dropped off for just a minute.
Oh, didn't know that. Sorry. I think a lot of it is just realizing that I need to practice it all myself. And that the more I'm looking at my own obligations and teaching myself to break it down and celebrate the process, that the more he's going to learn that.
So that's a great way to say, and I think you guys both are kind of highlighting this, is that, you know, all of you are, is that, you know, the more we model this, that's one of the best ways for our kids to begin to learn it. Because we'll sit and we'll look and we'll be like, oh, my gosh, I got to clean my whole house. And it gets overwhelming. But if you say, okay, you know what, I'm going to just wipe out the sink in my bathroom. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Okay, then I'm going to go and I'm going to put the clothes away on my bed. And then I'm going to, you know, whatever it is that you're kind of doing, it's a great way of self-motivating. Great example. Cool. All right, so we do have a little bit of time. If you guys would maybe even have time to do some laser coaching with each of you. Lisa, you want to go back and talk a little bit about what's going on with Isaiah at school? Where do you want to?
I want to talk about that. So, you know, again, right now is just this, you know, social thing going on, you know, a group of, you know, basically he had a best friend like a year ago, and that friend moved to a different school, and he sees him, you know, on the weekends and stuff, but he's been hanging around with these group of boys, and, you know, recently the boys have, you know, have asked him not to join them for lunch. And so he's very, he was very sad about this and cried to me about it. And, you know, he doesn't, you know, that sometimes he doesn't even want to go to school. And, you know, it's hard for me to piece it all together because he gets headaches at school a lot, and I don't know if it's something, you know, what's going on or if it's his medication that's giving him headaches. This last week has been better, but Friday he didn't want to go to school. This last week, right, so today was Tuesday. So, you know, and I've been trying to talk to him about it a lot, but he doesn't really want to talk about it. He just kind of feels like I'm bugging him.
Tell me about how that conversation goes. Is it more, here's 17 ideas of what you could do? Is it staying in compassion? How do you typically handle it?
So usually, you know, like I pick him up from school or when I see him when I get home, either way, depending on the day, I'll ask him, you know, how was your day? And he'll say fine or okay or whatever. And then I'll ask him, you know, I'll say, you know, did you hang out with anybody at lunchtime? Who did you sit with at lunch? You know, and he's just like, why do you always ask me that? He doesn't want to tell me. He's like, you're bugging me. And I said, oh, I just want to see, you know, how you're doing and if you're having fun during recess, you know. And so, you know, he did tell me that, you know, he started going to see, on his own, he went to see the counselor at school. And then I got a note that I had to sign giving him permission to continue to see the counselor. And he's missing library to do this. And he told me that he went and saw the counselor and he told her, you know, that he feels like he doesn't fit in. And the counselor, you know, said that there's nothing she can do to help him because he said he doesn't like any of the kids and he doesn't like any of the activities at recess. So he's just been reading his book at recess. But I don't think that's true. I think that he just feels like, you know, he can't hang out with the kids that he wants to hang out with, and he feels sad about it, so it's just easier to just go off by himself. And you know, I'm worried about him because, you know, even things like that he used to like to do, like dance or baseball, like he doesn't want to do those things anymore. He does do other things. So I'm just like really worried about him socially. So anyway, but the conversation goes, I ask him, you know, who do you have lunch with, and did he eat a sandwich? Because a lot of times he doesn't eat lunch.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Are you focused on problem solving? Or are you focused on compassion? Where are you focused?
Well, I guess I'm focused on when I'm asking him. I'm focused on just wanting to get information about what's happening with him during the
day.
Okay,
so he's going to tell you 17, you know, so ideally he tells you that all the stories about what everything that happens at school and all the details of it. So if he was a girl, 11-year-old girl, and part of this is a girl thing versus a boy thing, he would tell you every story about every girl that was mean to him, who said whatever to him, and this person did this and that person did that. So let's pretend for a second that he completely tells you everything that happens at school. How would that help you?
I don't know.
Well, being a girl, you know they feel better because they were able to tell you. But that
fair enough. Fair enough. So that's question number one is that, and I love that. Thank you for chiming in there. Does talking about it help him, and do you have this perspective that talking about it would help, or are you trying to get 7 million details, hoping that somewhere in there is going to be some solution you haven't thought of yet, Lisa?
Yeah, well, both. You know, and I guess I do think that talking about it would help him, but apparently it doesn't help. He doesn't want to talk about it. I think if he talks about it, it makes him feel sad. So that's probably why he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's hard because when you're if you're an external processor and your child isn't, and it's like you want to talk about everything and they don't, you kind of go, oh my gosh, they must be feeling terrible, and they won't talk about it, and it must, you know, because you know that if something happened to you and you aren't able to talk about it, it must be enormous. And so that might be part of the curiosity is what I heard you say more than anything else is that you don't want him to feel sad.
Right.
And so it may be that talking about it would help him. It may be that not talking about it would help him. It may be, you know, but I think that that's the piece of it is that if your only job for the next week, Lisa, was to focus on coming up with ideas for how to help him to not be sad, mm-hmm. regardless of how he got unsad in the first place, how he got sad in the first place,
mm-hmm.
if your job was, I'm going to make my son happy, that's my job, what would you mm-hmm. do differently? Your job is to help your son to be happy. What would you do differently?
Just happy in general.
Mm-hmm. Just happy. That's what you said. You want your son to not be sad. Is happy the opposite of sad for you? We should check on that.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess, you know, just, you know, do, you know, tone of the home, you know, just make it happy here and, you know, enjoy our company together and do, you know, things together that, you know, are make him happy. Or, you know, I mean, I don't want to spoil him, but you know, like take him out for ice cream every day after school or anything. But, you know, just, you know, there's a lot of different things that make him happy, you know, just more time, you know, talking about other things or, you know, going on the trampoline with him or, you know, things like that that he likes.
So how does it feel to not fix the problem, Lisa?
That's pretty hard.
Of course it is. You know, you want your kids to not have problems and you want it to go away. You don't want them to suffer. And what mm-hmm. if when it's the right time for the problem to be resolved that it will be?
Mhm. Yeah. And he does come and talk to me when he wants to, and so maybe I shouldn't ask him about recess and lunch and just back off and then he, you know, cuz he's not telling me anyway. So, but he, you know, he did tell me the problem to begin with and told me he went to the counselor and everything and it was going. So, maybe I should just not ask him anymore. And, yeah, like you said, I can just focus on other things and we'll just see what happens. Because, like I said,
Right. So, here's the thing. It's kind of like, you know, you're jumping from asking him 7 million questions about everything to not asking him at all.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal was to help your son to be less sad and more happy, what would be the amount of communication that you would have with him about what's going on for him?
I don't like to ask him how was your day because I just never get any answer whatsoever. I just get like an okay or whatever. But I know that asking him those specific questions about recess and lunch does not make him happy.
I'm not suggesting this is the right solution with you, but play with this a little bit and figure out what you really want is he's 11 years old, so he's at a point where you could begin to have conversations with him about you want to help him figure out how to figure it out. You don't want to just give him the solution. So it's kind of like, you know, I really would love to see you more happy and less sad.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you could do to shift that, and how do we talk about it? Because I think that that's the thing. It's like you might be in a situation where you say, okay, the one question I'm going to ask you every day is on a scale of 0 to 10, how happy are you today? Were you today?
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, I'm a 7, you say, well, is that good for you? And he'll say, yeah or no, or yeah, you know, do you want to change that? Do you not? So you're evaluating how he feels about how happy he is. He may say mm-hmm. that he was a 3, but he might be perfectly okay with that.
Right.
Okay, so you're really trying, because what I heard you say, and I'm going to push you to take aim on this, is you want to help your child to be less sad than he would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as sad as he'd like to be, right? Because you don't, you know, most of us don't, you know, if our kids were fine the way they were, would we want to mess with them?
Nope.
Okay. So what stands out for you in that, Lisa?
Yeah, I like that idea to tell him that I want to see him happy and less sad. And I like the idea of the 0 to 10 thing. We'll see if he buys into that. I could see him joking with me about what's going to make him more happy, like, you know, going out for a treat after school every day. And so, but yeah, that sounds like a good place to start, because what I'm doing is not working, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So, Martha or Margot, either of you want a little bit of help getting some direction on anything?
Well, this is Martha. And along with what Lisa's saying, because a lot of it's where I've been, to where if I want to make him happy and I just get off his back, then, yeah, I stop communicating with him. I leave him alone for him to then come up with it, and that's not working either. So I'm still getting, you know, the result is he can't work with me. Well, he hadn't even been working with me. I haven't even been, you know, I've been in the house and being a mom, but leaving him pretty much to go. So back to where, okay, well, asking him questions, and I can see where, yeah, it starts being the annoying, you know, I don't want to talk about it. So is an answer maybe from my perspective is, yeah, asking him on a scale of 1 to 10 how he's feeling about it, and then, but even asking more like open-ended questions, or like if he was to talk about a subject, you know, and I just say, okay, tell me one thing about your school today. So I'm not asking him the same question all the time, or that question leads to another question leading to another question. I just kind of leave it to him to tell me one thing. I'd like to know one thing about school today, so that way he can share anything he feels comfortable sharing. I guess I'm just asking, is that kind of like a successful approach to move forward?
Well, what do you think? How do you think it would play out?
Well, I would think it would work in that then I'm not trying to work with him. I'm just asking him, what can you, you know, what kind of work can you tell me?
Right. Okay. So it's an interesting conversation, but I think that part of what I heard in both of these conversations was, you know, when we jump to fixing or we jump to an outcome, we miss some important steps, which is, you know, how important is this to my child? And because part of what we ultimately want to do is we want it to become their issue rather than our issue. And if it doesn't become their issue, then maybe it's not supposed to be an issue. And that's not always an easy place to be in, but it's just something to think about. So let's do our wrap-up questions. We're on page 37. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity? What's an aha or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, write down some notes, and I'd love to hear from all of you. All right, let's hear some ahas and takeaways. Martha, you want to go first?
Okay. The aha would be like focusing on the process. Stop trying to fix it, because they always say men are the ones that won't listen. They just want to fix it. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, am I just, you know, it's been going on so long, I'm at the point where I just want to fix it. So I have to stop trying to fix it. And then taking aim on maybe just asking one question. One open question on what do you want, you know, what can you tell me today? Nothing. Then being able to accept that. And that could probably, you know, just by in itself help it be more successful for me to get through, you know, with this action is just keeping myself to that standard.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. I had that same aha a few years ago where it's like, the one of the most frustrating things I had about my former husband was that he was a fixer, right? And he wouldn't, you know, I wanted him to just listen sometimes. And so it's hard when our kids won't talk about stuff, but they often don't want us to fix either.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Margo, aha and action.
And just the way you phrased the distance between now and the end hit me in a new way today. I guess that was my aha. And so the takeaway is the breaking it down and practicing that, being the example and helping him break his stuff down.
Cool. Awesome. And what do you think is going to be the hardest part about that?
Continuity. Just being consistent with it.
Just being consistent. So what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
I'm putting it in my calendar now. And maybe that will be part of it.
Awesome. All right. Lisa.
I guess what I paid attention to the most was about, well, a couple things. One is, you know, just trying to, you know, maybe make it his problem instead of my problem, not taking it on. And especially maybe, you know, I think that I'm taking it on is much more and getting much more upset than he probably is. And, you know, maybe it's not even that, you know, important to him. Also, I like the idea of just, you know, going back to just breaking things down into much smaller pieces, and the idea that, you know, like you said, like, you know, I can shepherd him through the whole thing and get him out the door, but for him to start doing it, you know, to be able to eventually be able to do it independently. So I just was thinking, like, well, maybe we can even just get him to start to try to get up on his own instead of me waking him up every day. And then I think for my... what I'm going to try to work on is just changing the questioning when I pick him up from school and see if that makes a difference. I like the 0 to 10 thing, so we'll try focusing on that and see if that helps. So that's that.
Awesome. Cool. All right. So... anything else to say? If not, we are on, let's see. So next week, there's a Lifeline call at noon on Tuesday, and then PSS is again on the 22nd. So we will talk in either next week or the week after. Take care, everybody.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.